Do you know that God has a great plan for your life? And do you know that He has made provisions for all that you need to fulfill His ordained plans for you? Join us as we journey into God's Word to discover and maximize our God-given destinies. Get set for radical transformation as we listen to the lead pastor, Destiny Impact Church, Pastor Demola Awoyeli, in this life-changing message. Your life will never remain the same again. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
And into every bit of your life, all right? Use your mouth to declare whom Christ has made you to be. The Bible says you and I are more than conquerors. The victory that He got, He gave it to us. He doesn't need the victory. He's not in battle or contention again. He doesn't need the victory, so He won it for us. Come on, go ahead and declare, victory belongs to me. 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 In my career, in my business, in my relationship, in my health, in my marriage, in every area of my life. Can you speak to that situation? I declare this morning, I have victory. I have victory over you. I am on top of you. I am an overcomer. I am more than conqueror, because victory is mine in Christ. He has given me the victory, and therefore I have the victory in the name of Jesus. So shall it be in Jesus' mighty name we have declared. And Lord, this morning, in the spirit of that song, we declare that we have the victory in the name of Jesus. And as we go into this week and this month, it shall be from victory to victory. Thank you, our Father. This morning, speak to us from your word. Let our lives not remain the same. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. God bless you. You may be seated. Good morning, everybody. I want to welcome you to church this morning. And there's a first Sunday of the month of April. Alright, so it's not out of place if I greet us Happy New Month. Amen. There are some of you I'm just seeing for the first time in this month of April. So, can I say Happy New Month to you? And what would you say in return? Somebody say back to the sender. Amen. I want to welcome us to God's presence and to our first service this morning. In case you are just joining us, this is our first service. It's a specialized service that we discuss the issues of career, business, relationship, and leadership. So between now and 9:25, this service will be over. And of course, we move to our second service, which is our impartation service. I like to always start by reminding us why we are holding this service. Number one, okay, I've added one more. It makes it four now. I used to give you three reasons in those days when we are still in our former facility. Number one, it's a product of revelation. I saw myself in a revelation and I was teaching business. All right, I know that by the virtue of my calling, of course, that does not look like it. But when I woke up from that revelation, the Holy Spirit stirred up my heart, telling me that I should start exposing His people to success principles from the Word of God as it relates to their business life. So we began in about a year ago, about 2 years ago, what we call Career and Business Interactive Service. All right, so so it was a product of that revelation. But this time around, I see God wanting us to do it every week, our first service every week. Then the second reason is because every church has that responsibility under God to introduce our people to how they can make it out there. People are getting frustrated day by day, but as I'm looking at all of you, none of you are frustrated in Jesus' name. You are elevated. Amen. You are too favored to be frustrated But you know, the reality of frustration out there is real. So it's our job as a church to teach people how to make success out of their lives. All right. Then the number three reason is because the times that we are in calls for such a smart approach to ministry, if I may use that word, a wise approach to ministry. The terrain is very favorable in quotes. People are not getting jobs. All right. Even the few jobs that are available, they look like a difficult thing to get. So we need to expose people how they can position themselves, if they are the career people, to get some advancement in their career, business and all of that. One of my joys in DIC is to see people coming up with businesses and being able to cater for themselves and cater for people and be a blessing. That's the number three reason. Then the number fourth one that the Holy Spirit is giving me now is the fact that we need to help people how to make the conversion between the spiritual blessing they receive in church and how to convert it to a practical reality in their lives. But normally every Christian should be able to do that, but I can't be too sure. All right, that everybody should be able to know how to make that switch. So this more like a practical service. All right. So how you can practically apply the spiritual stuff. You know, Pastor Kemi was saying, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Okay, that looks spiritual. That looks biblical. Am I correct? And that's very profound. If I'm starting my teaching from that, need to convert that spiritual truth into practical reality. That's the problem that most people have. Do you understand? They have the problem of converting spiritual truth to practical what? Practical what? Are you still following me this morning? I said most people have the problem of converting what? Spiritual truth to what? Practical reality. Like she said, you shall know the truth. And it's so if you go to the market tomorrow with that statement alone, it may not help you. So how do we convert that spiritual truth into practical? This morning we are sharing on winning the war against mediocrity. But let me begin from where Sister Kemi started from this morning. Alright, he said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. So one statement I want you to write down is that people say knowledge is power. That is true, but that is not completely true. Alright? It is not knowledge that set people free. If our knowledge can bring people into bondage. Alright? So it is not that you shall know and you shall be set free. He said you shall know the truth. So if you know the lie, you shall be bound. May you not be bound in Jesus' name. Did you get what I said? They say, I have knowledge. Mm-mm. Have you noticed that most of the people that are the poorest and the most unsuccessful on the earth, they are the most knowledgeable? Amen. Apology to professors. I've seen very few professor millionaires and billionaires. Very few of them. So if it is knowledge that brings wealth, professors should be the wealthiest. Do you understand? Mention as many professors that you know that are billionaires or millionaires. So knowledge does not automatically translate to success. Alright, so that scripture says you shall know. If you remove that word, the truth there, that scripture is empty. Do you understand? Because most of the time, we want to emphasize, you shall know. No, if you remove the truth, as powerful as that scripture is, you have reduced it to nothing. So it is not knowledge that brings success, it is the knowledge of the truth. So the greatest problem of man is not ignorance. Hear it from me today. Did you get what I said? I know you've heard it like that before. Oh, ignorance is the greatest problem. In fact, an ignorant man is better than a man who has a wrong knowledge. So the greatest problem of man is not ignorance, but wrong knowledge. You may want to write that down. Maybe you've not heard it like that before. An ignorant man Are you following me? It's better than the man who is wrongly taught. Because the problem of man in Genesis began not with ignorance but with wrong knowledge. That's where the problem started. Adam was fine until the devil gave them a wrong information about their life. Adam was fine. Sin was not in the world. Mediocrity was not in the world. But the moment Adam got a wrong knowledge, his life began to nosedive. So the greatest problem of man is not ignorance, but wrong knowledge. And can I say it again? An ignorant person is better than a person who has wrong knowledge. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, let me teach you four levels of interaction with knowledge. Number one is ignorance. Alright? Which you can call no knowledge. So you can call ignorance no knowledge. No. N-O. No knowledge. Alright? Number two, wrong knowledge. Number three, limited or insufficient knowledge. You know, you can know, but you don't know enough. Praise God. Remember this young guy, Apollos, in the scripture? Alright? The Bible said Apollos was teaching very powerfully, but he only knew the baptism of John. So there is little or limited knowledge, and there is what? There is full knowledge. Are you following me this morning? So number one, I said no knowledge. Somebody say no knowledge. No knowledge. That's ignorant. Number two, wrong knowledge. Number three, limited or little knowledge. Then number four, complete knowledge. Alright? And where you belong in this level of knowledge interaction will determine how your life will turn out. Alright? Where you belong, and if you want to ask me to grade those four things I have given you, the worst of them is wrong knowledge, not even ignorance. So ignorance is number two. Because the man with the wrong knowledge will not see reason to know again. Because to him, what he knows is right. So when a man with wrong knowledge goes to a service like this, he will not want to hear again because he knows something. And one of the curses on the wrong knowledge is that the person that has the wrong knowledge believes that his wrong knowledge is the right one. You know, the person who is ignorant or who has no knowledge knows that he has no knowledge. So he wants to know. He wants to learn. But the person who has a wrong knowledge wants to teach because he believes that he knows. Amen. So we have wrong knowledge followed by no knowledge, followed by little knowledge. In fact, if you must be on any level, be at the level of little knowledge so that you can yearn for more. Are you following? But as time goes on, the more you acquire knowledge, when I mean complete knowledge, I'm not saying that you will know everything, you will not have to learn again. But I mean that you know as many things as possible about the subject matter. Do you understand? If you talk about business now, there are some people that don't know some basic things about business. If you talk about marriage, some people don't know some other things about marriage, alright, and all of that. And somebody said it this way, you might want to write this down. He said, you must know something about everything and everything about something. Did you get that? You must know what? Something about what? Everything and everything about what? Did you get what I said? You must know something about what? Everything and everything about what? So that means that in every field of life, know something. I didn't say know everything. You can't know everything, but you can know something about everything. Praise God. If I say how many continents do we have in the world, don't say I'm not a geographer. You don't have to be a geographer to know that one. Praise God. Don't even tell how many organs and systems do we have in the body. Don't say I'm not a biologist, I'm an accountancy person. Accountant, I'm an accountant. You don't have to say that. Praise God. So you must know something about everything. I didn't say you must know everything about something. Sorry, everything about everything. But you must know something about everything. So if you live your life with those two understanding, that demola, you must know something about everything. I'm still talking about knowledge this morning. Because the word mediocrity actually is a function of knowledge. Praise God. Are you following? I said the word mediocrity is a function of what? Knowledge. So if I say somebody is a mediocre, that means he doesn't know how a particular things work. Do you understand? Alright? So you must know something about everything. You must know something about everything. Most times when I go to the mechanic to go and work on my car, I want to observe what they are doing. I wouldn't say, well, automobile is not my field, you know, but I must know something about it. Alright? But I don't have to know everything about the way a car works, but I should know some things about it. Because the reason the devil cheats a lot of people is because it causes them to have little or no knowledge about, just like the Christian Pastor Kemi quoted, I don't know the version she quoted. She used one language, like one statement like that. Alright, what's that statement? Now, what's version of that scripture? Romans, that's John chapter 8, verse 132. He said, that's Ecclesiastes 10:15. He said, he doesn't know the normal things about life. There are some things that are normal things about life, or something like that. Praise God. So you must know something about everything, am I correct? And you must know everything about something. That must be your drive. That must be your pursuit. What does that mean? Let me say it this way. In life, you must be both a general practitioner and a specialist. Did you get that? In life, you must be both what? You know, most times we use those two words exclusively. You say, I don't be a general practitioner, I'll be a specialist. I know. But I'm saying this morning that you must be both what? A general practitioner and a what? And a specialist. Somebody use it this way. You must be generally special and specially general. Write those statements down. I said you must be both a general practitioner and what? A specialist. And I said it this way, you must be generally special and specially general. So to be a general practitioner means to know something about everything. Do you understand? Do you understand? Nothing amazes people and keeps you on top of life's game than for you to enter a field and you may not talk the jargons in that field. Do you understand? But you should be able to say a little that shows that you are not ignorant, at least in this aspect. So when you know something about everything, that positions you to be a general practitioner. Praise God. Hallelujah. You don't have to be a lawyer to understand legal terms. Some of you see it on the TV, particularly in this election period, that people go to court, you hear litigation, you hear whatever, you know, those terminology. Don't shut your ears off it. Don't say, me, I'm a biologist. Amen. You may not know section, whatever, and subsection, so and so, but all those legal terms, you should be able to know them. So when people see you talking, they say, this guy is a general practitioner. No, I only know something about everything. So that makes you a what? A general practitioner. Now, to become a specialist, you must know everything about something. That's what makes you a specialist. That is why somebody can receive his doctorate or professorship, if I may use that language, on the study of tilapia fish. I'm sure you know there are doctors of fish. Not just every fish, tilapia. That's what the guy uses to collect his doctorate degree. They don't make you a doctor because you know biology. They will streamline everything. So that professor of tilapia fish sit down with tilapia fish and knows everything about tilapia fish. Amen. Alright, so that's what makes a specialist. He knows everything about something. And that doesn't mean that a specialist has a destination syndrome. He has not arrived. But for every one of us, that should be our preoccupation. I must know something about everything. And I must know everything about something. Praise God. So what is the field that you are in? For example, as a pastor. Alright? Every pastor has their calling. But you'll be a wrong pastor. So say, all this casting out devil, all this, I don't do that. You are supposed to be a general practitioner first of all. Praise God. Before you now go to your particular ministry. Some people now, if they don't teach new creation reality, they can't teach any other thing in the Bible. You are not a correct pastor. Praise God. Did you get what I said? Do you get what I said? I had a pastor said on the pulpit some time ago, that I don't touch the book of Revelation. It's for some people, it's not for me. What kind of pastor is that one? I understand what he's saying. He might be thinking that his calling does not... But at the same time, a pastor must be a general practitioner before even a specialist. I said I had the pastor say so. That me, I don't talk about the book of... And to me, I doubt the validity of your ministry as a pastor if you don't touch the book of Revelation. Do you understand? So a pastor must be a general practitioner and also be a specialist. So if that is possible for a pastor, then for everybody too, you must. So as you go into this week, let that be your preoccupation. Number one, what must I know about everything? What must I know about? We're talking about Romans 8, John 8, 31 and 32. What must I know about everything? So there must be that yearning for knowledge. You are working in a company. You are in the engineering department. You are not in the human resource department. But once in a while, interact with the folks in the human resource department. You don't have to study human resource management. But once in a while, peep into what they are doing. Do you understand? Praise God. Some of you don't know that working for a company has afforded you opportunity to know as many things as possible if you care to know. You are an accountant, but what stops you from interacting once in a while with the engineer in that company? When it talks about the generator in the company, don't say, well, that's for you technical guys. Why not know a little? Oh, the injector pump is faulty. Okay, what is the injector pump? It is that device that pumps in or whatever, inject fuel into the whatever system. That one has stuck to your brain. You don't need to write an exam on it, but you have understood it. Do you understand? But the next time you are driving your car and your car suddenly stops on the road and you saw a roadside mechanic and he says the injector pump is whatever, you understand what he's saying. Praise God. The reason why people are cheated is because they don't understand this principle of life. So a mechanic sees them and uses every and confuses them. Amen. A repair that should not be more than 1.5 because the 15,000 because you don't know. Amen. So you must be a general practitioner, meaning that you must know everything, you must know something about everything. Then number two, you must be what? A specialist, meaning that you must know everything about something. That must be your motivation. For example, you are in the world of marketing. Can you seek to know everything about marketing? Can you have that drive? Can you have that drive? Don't be playing marketing game at the same level you have been playing it. That you enter the world of marketing, you should be able to try to know everything about marketing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did you get something this morning? So what did I start from this morning? It is not ignorance that is the problem of people, but wrong knowledge. Wrong knowledge. An ignorant man is better than a man who is wrongly taught or who wrongly knows. The first problem of man began not with ignorance, but with wrong knowledge. The devil simply supplied them with wrong information about their life. They bought into it and that spelt their doom. May you not fall in Jesus' name. Praise God. So we need to ask ourselves, what I think I know, is it the truth?
Because it is not what you know that sets you free. It is whether that thing that you know is what is it is to be known. You shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Will set you free. You shall know the lie, and the lie shall keep you in bondage. Praise God. So that is the fundamental way to win the war against mediocrity. Clarify your knowledge. Clarify your knowledge. I've told you the story about a sheep or something that was raised in an environment, or a lion, a cub, or whatever they call it, the kid of a lion, that was raised in an environment of sheep. I think when they gave birth to the cub, they brought it in the sheepfold. Are you following me? So it began to grow with the sheep. Do you understand? So when they go out to eat poo-poo or to do all of that, he also follows them everywhere. So most times they go to the river to go and drink water. He goes there to drink water with them. But a point came that a lion, all right, always come around at the point that they are drinking water to bully them and to roar at them. So when the lion roars at them, they will all run, including the young lion. So that kept happening over and over again. They were all wrong. Once they see the lion roar, everybody takes to their heels. But that fateful day, there was a fateful day that came, that while they were drinking water, and as usual, the lion came to roar at them, but either by chance or by purpose, the young lion suddenly looks into the water. Are you following me? You know, water surface is reflective. And he saw for the first time what it looked like. And he saw what the lion at the other side looked like. He said they are the same. So that day, when every other person was running away from the lion, he stopped. He stood. He didn't run. So I can't run away because we are the same. So the bigger lion came around to where the young lion is, and they began to fellowship together. So for the first time, that young lion understood who he was, or who it was. Do you understand? So what normally should have been running away from because of wrong knowledge? Amen. He had the wrong knowledge of who he was. He thought because he has been fellowshipping with the sheep, he was raised with them, he thought he was like them. But the moment he looked into the waters, and the water is the word of God, praise God. Why do we study the scripture? We study the scripture to know who we are. The moment you know who you are, you will no longer run away from what you should not be running away from. It's so for the first time. Why should I run away? I am like this bigger lion. Amen. And God says to tell somebody this morning, you are a lion by destiny. You are not, do you understand? You are not supposed to die in cowardice. You are a lion. See, I'm a lion. I know you are catching cold. Amen. Uncle is catching you. See, I'm a lion. So when we look at the word of God tells us who we are. The word of God tells us who we are. We see our real self in the word of God. I see my real self in business, my real self in career, from the word of God. So I don't allow the circumstances around me to dictate my response. The word of God dictates my response. Praise God. Romans chapter 12 verse 2, it said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. And the word of God is the premise upon which that renewing of our mind actually takes place. The word of God. The word of God. The word of God. Praise God. Say, I'm a lion.
Say, I'm a lion. Say, I'm a lion. Somebody saying, I'm a lioness. Say, I'm a lion. There is no male and female in Christ. Say, I'm a lion. Alright? Because circumstances want you to chicken out and bulge in. And it's all a function of our mentality. Because that was what we saw in Numbers chapter 13. The Bible said, Moses sent out the 12 spies, alright? 10 of them came back with evil reports. Alright? 10 of them came back and said, ah, look at those guys out there, they are lions. We are prey. They will eat us for lunch. Somebody saying, I can't go out there to find job. I won't get one. Understand that I'm a lion. Say, I'm a lion. Say, they will eat us up. That was what those guys were saying in Numbers 13. But Caleb and Joshua said, no. He said, we are lions. We are going to feed on them. Praise God. So how do we win the war against mediocrity? Let me quickly say this morning that most of the time, alright, people don't understand that the best that salvation did for you is to change your spirits. Alright? To change your words. I love the way somebody said it. He said, a fool who now got born again is a born again fool. You know what that means? That means that the fact that you gave your life to Christ does not automatically translate you to a wise person. But wisdom is in your DNA. Amen. Do you understand? A short man who got born again cannot automatically become a tall man because he gave his life to Christ. Do you understand? A lanky looking young man, very slim and all of that, who gives his life to Christ will not necessarily become muscular. Now, what does he need to do to be muscular? If he actually wants to be muscular, he should go to the gym. Am I correct? So, gym, salvation cannot replace the place of the gym. So, a fool who gives his life to Christ does not automatically, even though potentially is wise. Amen. But it does not automatically translate to what? Huh? To a wise man. He needs to learn. He needs to renew his mind. A dirty-minded person who gives his life to Christ, listen to me, does not automatically translate to a clean-minded person. And that's why some people give their life to Christ and they discover that they are still thinking the impure thought they used to think before. And they say, maybe I'm not born again. You are born again. That impure thought does not make you not born again. But somebody needs to teach you that beyond just getting born again, you need to now get into a place of mind renewal. Do you understand? Praise God. A mediocre who gets born again cannot automatically translate to an excellent minded person if he doesn't work on his mind. So to win the war against mediocrity, you are going to engage in the business of mind renewal. Praise God. Salvation is like getting a man out of Egypt. Mind renewal is like getting Egypt out of that man. Did you get that? Did you get what I said? Salvation is like what? Getting a man out of what? Egypt. Mind renewal is getting Egypt out of a man. Hey! Hallelujah! I just saw two pictures. That, can you imagine somebody boarding an airplane and the pilot announced that we are now in East Africa, we will soon be moving to the Europe now. And the person said, Kenya, pilot, I want to get down. Even though he's flying an airplane, but his mentality has not been changed. Amen. That reminds me of the story of a woman that was carrying a load on her head. And somebody cared to give her a lift. And said, madam, you are standing, you are walking alone under this hot sun with this heavy load. Can I give you a lift under this AC tight car? And the woman said, oh, thank you, sir. Amen.
And he entered the vehicle, the car, very powerful car. And she entered the car, sat in the car, and still put the load on her head. And the driver said, "Madam, put the load in the booth." Said, "No, it's my load." So the fact that somebody enters an AC type car does not mean that his or her mentality has been changed. So salvation is like getting a man out of Egypt. But until Egypt gets out from a man's life or mind, he will not enjoy the fullness of salvation. So at salvation, I've been lifted from Egypt. You know the scripture that Jesus said, if the light that is in you in that is darkness, he said, how great is that darkness? So salvation is getting a man out of darkness, but mind renewal is getting darkness out of the mind of a man. Are you following me? You know, we have been translated from darkness into light. But for us to manifest in the realm of light, we must get darkness out of our mind. Amen. So salvation, let me say that word again, is getting a man out of Egypt, but mind renewal is getting Egypt out of a man. I'm sure you have seen this picture before, maybe anywhere you probably have seen it, of a heavy animal, maybe elephant or something, all right, that was, let's say, tied to a very light plastic chair like this, or maybe to something heavier, maybe like this pillar, maybe a goat tied to this pillar. You know, normally the goat cannot move. Do you understand? Because he knows that he has been what? Tied. But let's assume that they now remove this rope. Maybe tie it to something light. Or even remove this stuff. And, you know, the goat still remains where it is. Not because the stuff has not been removed. But somebody now said the greatest problem of the goat now is not the rope. It is his mind. So in the mind, the goat still believes that he has been tied. Amen. Do you believe that you have been tied? No. He still believes that he has been tied. In fact, the goat, it will move, because normally the tie determines the circumference of his movement. So he moves this way and goes back. You know, when you remove this whatever that has tied it, he will still move this way and come back. Even though he has the liberty now to move beyond this circumference and move further. Do you understand? And that's why we can get Egypt out of a man. We can get a man out of Egypt, but to get Egypt out of that man is the greatest problem. And that was what God could not easily do for the Israelites. Are you following me? Are you following me? To move them out of Egypt was not a problem, but to move Egypt out of them was a problem. To move them out of Egypt, they needed a power ministry like that of Moses. But to move Egypt out of there, they needed a wisdom ministry. Did you follow me now? To move them out of Egypt, they needed a power ministry like that of Moses. Parted the Red Sea, commanded frogs on the Egyptians. They needed a power ministry. But to move Egypt out of them, somebody needs to tell them, you are no more in Egypt. That was why all through their journey in the wilderness, they kept referring to Egypt. Am I right? Did you remember that? I say, even when they say, are there no better grace in Egypt? When God gave them manna, they kept complaining, is this the manna we are going to eat and die? Are there no better whatever? Do you know? They kept talking about Egypt. And that's the state of most Christians today. God has taken you out of Egypt. You are still talking about Egypt. God has, you know, translated you from the kingdom of darkness to that of light. But you are still talking about darkness. So how do we win the war against mediocrity? Understand that salvation is like bringing a man out of Egypt. But for Egypt to get out of that man, he must engage in the business of mind renewal. Do you understand? Praise God. Because what determines the quality of your salvation is your mind. The influence of the Holy Spirit must affect our minds. And that's why our minds is where the devil brings the greatest battle. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 4 to 5. He said the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. Are you following me? They are mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds. Alright? I wish people will understand that that is where the devil brings his battle. They are not carnal. They are not what you do, you exchange fists and blows. But they are mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, casting down imagination. Every one of them is in the mind. Amen. So if I should win in my mind, I will win in life. Praise God. I said, praise God. If I should win in my mind, I will win in what? In life. If God can affect my mentality, it will affect my destiny. Remember Proverbs 23 verse 7, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Remember that scripture? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So our Christian growth is measured by the transformation of our minds. Our Christian growth is measured by what? The transformation of our minds. Our Christian growth is not measured just by how much we pray. Our Christian growth is measured by how much of the mind of Christ that have taken a hold of us. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16, Apostle Paul said we have the mind of Christ. He said, who has known the mind of God that he may instruct him? He said, but we have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Praise God. A man's mentality is affected by at least six things. There can be more than that. Number one, write them down. What is that thing that affects a man's mentality? Why is somebody a mediocre? Who is a mediocre? Somebody that thinks lowly. Alright? Somebody that is ignorant of how things work. Somebody that sees himself lesser than the way God sees him. That's a mediocre. Are you with me this morning? So what are those things that affect a man's mentality? What are those things that make somebody to think high, another person thinks low? Amen. Why should a graduate tell his pastor, Pastor, I want to start a food business? Amen. A raw food business. And pastor asks the graduate, how do you want to go about it? He says, I will go to Ojaoba and buy 2 delicas of rice to start with. And 1 Congo of beans to start with. And 1 bottle of palm oil to start with. So when we want to come and buy, they buy 1 tin milk of whatever and I start from there. If you ever tell that to a pastor or to somebody as a graduate, you are ashamed to education. Praise God. You can't tell me you are a graduate and you want to start a food business and what's in your mind? Say, how much do you need to start food business? Just give me 1.5, I'll be fine. Amen. Say 1.5, I'll just go to market, buy 2 delicacies of rice. At least I'll start from there. No. But somebody can think like that. One other person say, okay, I want to start a food. How do you intend to start? Okay, I want to order for some trailer loads of tubers of yam from Benue State. Alright, I want to get to the north. The same kind of business, but different mentality. Amen. You know, your mentality will determine the wealth that you attract. You sit down beside somebody that can help you in life and they ask you, what do you want to do with your life? I want to start food business, 2 delicacies of rice. He will say, okay, see me tomorrow. He won't see you again. But you say, I want to order for a trailer load of tubers of yam in Benue State. Wow! The person already sees your life and business as something he can invest in. What will affect that? Your mentality. So a mediocre mind thinks in terms of what I've just said now, while an excellent minded person thinks in terms of doing it big. Praise God. A mediocre mind says, I want to start a church. Okay, I've seen 1 mango tree somewhere. I've got some benches, you know, just see that stand. I remember we have some tambourine in our house.
Alright, we just sit down wherever two or three are gathered. God is there. Amen. If you go share your vision for ministry with somebody like that, they will invest in your ministry.
So we must bring this mindset into everything we do. Whether ministry, whether business. Amen. Career, whatever it is you do. Praise God. So I've identified about six things that can affect people's mentality. Number one is your background. Background. But some of us, that the way where we are coming from has affected our mind, our mentality. Your background. I just used the story of selling foodstuff in tin milk. Some people, that's the only thing they know about food business. So they remember one woman in their compound that is living opposite their room. That's the way people come and buy F me to give me two tin milk of rice. So that's the only thing he knows about food business. Praise the Lord. So your background, and somebody said, don't allow your background to put your back on the ground. Amen. But some people, the reason why their back is on the ground is because of their background. Well, listen to me, you are not your background. Say, I'm not my background. Say, I'm not my background. I am not my background. So your background sometimes can affect your mentality. Number two, your exposure. Your exposure. Listen to me, no matter what you are doing today, some other people are doing it better than the way you are doing it. Your exposure. Your exposure will determine the excellence you bring to bear on what it is you are doing. Why do we need to travel sometimes? It's so that we can see how things are done elsewhere. Praise God. I said, praise God. Why do we browse the internet? One of the greatest blessings I get from browsing the internet is not just a while away time, to be exposed. To be exposed. To be exposed. To see things. So, internet has helped every one of us now not to be saying, I don't have money, I will have traveled to Dubai. Just Google Dubai on your phone. It will bring you, it will departmentalize Dubai, the tourism of Dubai, it will show you the picture of the hotels in Dubai. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you can be talking to your friend and say, you know, like in Dubai now, we have some hotels that are 64 stories. Say, have you been there before? Have you been there before? Yes, you have been there. I wonder why people carry phone on their hands and they are still not exposed. Your internet access is beyond WhatsApp. Amen. It's beyond Facebook. Praise God. Sometimes when people ask me some question, I say, Google it now. That's some question you shouldn't be asking somebody today. I'm telling you, you have phone or internet 24/7. You are still asking Google. I wish students will understand. In our days, a professor can ask us questions and we don't need to take us 2 weeks to go and search library. But now, right there, prum, 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 you can download materials from the best universities in the world. You will get it. So I don't know if they see how some of you, because some lecturers will make you look as if people don't know anything. But the advent of internet has proven professors wrong. Amen. And you discover that even the thing is teaching you, the same thing you are Googling, the same material, that is, this is what you are seeing. But you know, so somebody can still be in the class and have internet access and still not know some things. That's exposure. So you don't need money, as it were, I want to travel to whatever, you don't need that. And if you do have the opportunity to physically go to places, go there. Because it will change the way you do things, it will change the way your approach to your career, your approach to your business, to your ministry, to everything you do. Number three, your education. Our education is not only to back certificates or to increase in degrees. Our education is to be able to affect our mentality. Any education that keeps you mentally dull is not education. So when the more you acquire education, whether generally speaking on your field of endeavor, it helps you in your excellence drive. Number four, your experience. Some people have got some bad experiences. Bad experiences. Some even have got some good experiences. So your good experience also can be a bane on your excellent mindedness. Because good, they say, alright, is the enemy of the best. Say, ah, no, we are good. We can be better. Ah, we remember, no, we've been good. Your experience, whether good or bad, can affect
your mentality.
But our experience should be launching paths for our mental upgrade. If it was good last year, it can be better this year. Are you following me? If it was bad last year, what did I do wrong? How can I check? How can I work it out to make it good this year? Because your experiences should not make you bitter, but they should make you better. Your experiences should not make you bitter, but should make you what? Better. Somebody said when you fail in a project, business or whatever, do something more. Somebody started a business and that business did not succeed. The devil says, the next one you will do, cut it low. But God says, take it higher. The pastor does a program, it does not succeed. The devil says, don't do another one again or the next one. Can you imagine me, you doing a program maybe in a hall like this and the program in people's eye failed and the next one you say, I'm going to use 2,500 sitter in footer. But you know, if you don't handle failure very well, that's the way of stagnating your life. Somebody does a meeting and say, because it was, let me go and do one in one small room. No. The law of success says, when you fail at one, increase your stake. Amen. But if you don't understand this one, you will allow that experience to lower your standard for you. And I'm speaking to people here, I'm speaking that by the Spirit of God. Are there things you have failed at? Try better. You applied to university, to South Africa, and they didn't choose you for scholarship. The next one, apply at MIT. But that South Africa failure tells you, you better not cross Africa. Just stay within Nigeria. That's what he wants to tell you. So when I say you applying for Molorogbo University of Science, and they say, why not? They are better. I say, let's just manage this one. The person is remembering that the South Africa, they said no. If they said no in South Africa or Kenya, move to Europe. Do something more than your failure. Amen. Your failure wants to keep you in one spot. But a man of excellence says, I will apply for something bigger. Praise God. Let me stop there. Give you two more. The next one, your association. And the last one, your growth in God. Your association to determine your mentality. Alright. Proverbs 13:20. He that walks with the wise will become what? Wise. But a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. So in every field, there are people you can work with that will help you to move from mediocrity to excellence. And your growth in God. As you grow in God and in things of God, it helps the way you think. It helps the way that you undo things. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Did you get something? The message I preached this morning, some of you have never heard it before. The pastor have heard it before. I say congratulations. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as we pray this morning. Did you get something? You can go into this week and apply. Can you imagine you went to sell a product to somebody and they said no? Go target somebody bigger than that person. Amen. Amen. You propose to an ugly sister in quotes and she said no. Don't say maybe I will look for somebody uglier than that. Look for somebody more beautiful. Amen. Here's some brothers now because one sister said no. So every even the one that was not up to this one said no last year. This one. Increase your chance. Increase your stay. Your whatever. Amen. Come bro, somebody fine now. Somebody, you know. The one you boast was an OND holder. Go and boast a PhD holder. If you want to teach a master's there. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You laid your hands on headache and the person didn't get healed. Go and look for a dead man and lay your hands on him. That's how to shame the devil. Because you lay your hands on headache, that can affect your mentality. So when you see stomach pain, a headache, go, listen, go and meet a dead man. Until you overcome that struggle in your mind, you can't advance. The struggle that says headache did not listen, and you are talking about ulcer. No, don't even look for ulcer. Look for a dead man and raise and lay your hands on the dead man. That's how to win the war over against mediocrity. Try something more than where you failed before. The devil cannot undo that one because it doesn't look normal. This guy is crazy. He's actually crazy. Praise God. As the Lord will help you to apply this teaching to your life, that this teaching will give you success in your life and your endeavor, that for you it shall be from glory to glory. Tell yourself, as I go into this week, in the spirit of this word I've had, I make success everything I've listened to. Thank you, our Father. We receive this word with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray.
Lord, I declare over your people, it is well with them. This word they have heard may appear simple, but let it bring transformation. Oh, I see God bringing testimonies out of this word. Somebody will tie a major advancement in his life or her life to this word. In the name of Jesus, we will give you praise, our Father. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Put your hands together for the Lord.
We know that this message has been of tremendous blessing to you. For information on how you can get more of our messages and ministry materials, or how you can partner with us to bless more lives all over the world, kindly visit our website www.destinyimpactchurch.org or call the following numbers: 0803-832-8650 or 0809-462-8743. Thanks and God bless you. Destiny Impact Church, empowering in destinies. Jesus is Lord.